Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. We have been not only having these testimonies on Sunday nights, but we have been studying different characters in Scripture. And if you need one of these lesson guides, if you'll raise your hand, somebody will bring you one. This is a little green lesson guide here that we're going to work through. And as you can tell from the guide, we have gone through quite a number of different characters. Tonight we're going to talk about Philip. And Philip the evangelist in the Scripture. But I want to do a quick review, because it's always important to review, because repetition is what? The mother of learning. And so we're going to review here. We talked about David, and David's main lesson, as we best we understand it, is he would say that what is the Lord's? The battle is the Lord's. Yes, very good. And then the Apostle Paul, number two, finish well. Finish well. Thank you. Number three, Joseph. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's right. That was his message. That was his message. Number four, Barnabas was an encourager, and he would tell us, never give up on people. Never give up on people. Barnabas always went to bat for those that needed to be encouraged. Number five, Esther. Do right and leave the results to God. All right, very good. Number six, Samson. Well, I gave you the answer. Sorry about that. We learned from him that sin blinds, binds, and grinds. That's a tragic story, the life of Samson, but there's some lessons that we can learn there. Number seven, John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. All right. Number eight, Daniel. Daniel said, purpose in your heart before the battle. Somebody got it. Y'all a little shaky on Daniel now. All right. Purpose in your heart before the battle. If you remember Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And before they ever confronted him with the conviction that he was to lay down his conviction, he had already decided that he was not going to compromise. Then we studied Peter, number nine. God will never give up on you. God will never give up on you. And then the last time we were in this Bible study together, we did the life of Stephen, and we actually ordained deacons that night, because deacon was the first deacon, and Stephen was the first deacon. And his message was, be faithful to Jesus at all cost. All right? Be faithful to Jesus at all cost. Now, I want you to look at the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 1. Now, Saul was consenting to his death, talking about the death of Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Interesting. Everyone scattered except the apostles. They hung in at Jerusalem. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip, now this is our subject tonight, Philip. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Let's talk about Philip. Let's talk about the character of his life, and let's talk about the lesson that we can learn from this man, Philip. There's several places in the Bible we find him. Number one on our Bible study is Philip was chosen as one of the first deacons. If you go back to chapter 6 and you look at verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. If you look at verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, There's Philip. He was chosen as one of the first deacons. Now, to finish out number one there in our lesson guide, he had a good reputation. He was a man of character. And we see that in Philip. We see that in those chosen as deacons, that he was a man of good reputation. The Bible also said he had wisdom. He was a wise man. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Andrew's sharing tonight about what could I do to make a difference. You know, that doesn't come natural. Normally, we as God's creation, we have a sinful nature, and we typically want to know what we can do to help ourselves rather than to help others. I think that's a wise thing that Andrew did, and it was acting out of wisdom. What would God want me to do? Seeing life from God's point of view. So this was the kind of man Philip was. He had a good reputation. He had wisdom. And then he was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. The book of Ephesians says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Now, the word filled doesn't mean like fill up a glass of water, although I think we ought to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. Right? We should. But that particular word, filled, means to be controlled. You say, well, I have the Holy Spirit. The question is, does he have you? That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How does someone become filled with the Holy Spirit? They confess all known sin. They say, Lord, my thought life, Lord, the things I say, I give it all to you, and I ask you to forgive me for the things I've said that are not according to your will, and I ask you to forgive me of the sin in my life. And then, Lord, I ask you to control me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And so Philip was this kind of a man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, number two, Philip went to Samaria as a result of persecution. He went to Samaria as a result of persecution. It's interesting how the gospel thrives in persecution. I think it's one of the things that we, in the American church, it's one of the blessings that we have that we can freely meet here. Nobody stopped you from coming in here tonight. In talking with those in closed countries, they do much of their work under the radar. In other words, it's not a public gathering where they advertise, hey, come to church and worship Jesus. We can do that. We have a sign out there inviting people to come and worship with us. But in many places, it's not that way. They have to meet in secrecy because there's persecution. But here's the sad thing. If we're not careful in the American church, we're suffering. We're not growing like we ought to. And in places where there's persecution, there's rapid growth. There's rapid growth. Steve Creighton, some of y'all know that name. Steve works overseas a lot, and he told me about a new book on discipleship where they're teaching Bible storying. And in this book, I was reading a little bit of it, and it was talking about how that there's church planting movements. We're not talking about people being saved. We're talking about churches reproducing so rapidly they can hardly keep up with it. But they're all in places where there's persecution. It's interesting. And a lot of it we never hear about in this country. But God has worked in places of persecution. Well, this is what happened in the book of Acts. In chapter 8, verse 1, we read it. Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. They had had the day of Pentecost. We know from Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people were saved at the preaching of Peter, and it just began to rapidly grow. Well, the religious leaders of Jerusalem were not happy about that, and so they began persecuting the church. Now, Jesus had given the disciples the plan. I want you to look at Acts chapter 1. Go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here's what Jesus said. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So that was the Lord's plan. The Lord's plan was, let's win people to Christ here in Jerusalem. Then let's go to Judea, which was kind of the state where Jerusalem was, so to speak. Then let's go to Samaria, which would have been like branching out into the southeast. And then let's go to the ends of the earth. Everywhere there are people, where people live, let's take the gospel to them. So Jesus had given that plan, and the Lord had given the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon the people, and so they had the Holy Spirit, they had the plan, but you know what? It's interesting, we get to chapter 8, and we don't see a lot of the gospel going out. What got it out? Persecution. The people were persecuted, and persecution forced the issue. Philip was one of those who went to Samaria. Now, Samaria was a place where the Jews would not have wanted to be, because Samaritans were kind of, they were considered like half-breeds. They were really looked down upon as a people. That would have not been the place that they would have wanted to go. The Jews would have thought they were ceremonially unclean to be around the Samaritans. And yet God sent Philip to Samaria. And what did he do? Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. So the blank there is the word Christ. Philip preached Christ. He told how Christ fulfilled the Old Testament scripture. How do you preach Christ when you don't have the New Testament? Philip had the Old Testament. And so he began to tell them about the Old Testament, how Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the Old Testament promise for the Messiah. And if you look at verse 6, it says, "And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Verse 7, "For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed." Verse 8, "And there was great joy in that city." And so you see there at the end of our number 3 on our lesson guide, great joy was the result. So God used Philip. Philip was preaching. He was preaching Jesus Christ. Now, we learn about the components of witnessing from the life of Philip. I want you to look in chapter 8, and let's begin here with verse 26. This is Acts 8:26. So here's Philip preaching in Samaria. He's in a revival. People are being healed. People are being saved. There was great joy in the city of Samaria. And then it says in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go down toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. Verse 27, "So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury." Most scholars believe this would have been like the financial, the minister of finance for Candace in Ethiopia. The treasurer of the nation had come to Jerusalem, and he was traveling back, because I don't know if you have a map in your Bible of this, but Jerusalem, there's a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza that's on the coast, and it's the gateway into Ethiopia. Yeah, they have that for the screen. That green line at the bottom is the road that he took. You can't read the fine print, but you see where it says Judea, that right there at that dot is Jerusalem. That is the road that Philip was told to go down to Gaza down here on the coast. And so we see in the passage he met this man from Ethiopia who had great authority under Candace, who was the queen, and he was returning. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. Verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him." Can you imagine? He ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." This was from Isaiah chapter 53. So here's this Ethiopian finance minister in a chariot on his way back home. And the Lord said to Philip, "You go down there and you be ready to share." And all of a sudden he meets this man. And the man says, "I can't understand this unless I have someone help me." Verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said this, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. By the way, that's one place. This is not the purpose of tonight's message, but where it says he went down into the water, that's another reason we believe in baptism by immersion. The text seems to indicate they went down into the water. He didn't just lift up some water or do it another way. He went down into the water, the Greek language communicates to us. And in the end of verse 38, it says, "And he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord," check this out, "caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more." He disappeared. Do you think that finance minister had something to share in the next meeting? He went away, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. If you can show that picture again, if you have it available, this green line on the coast going all the way up to that top city, that is the road after he won the Ethiopian to Christ, then that is the road to Azotus and goes all the way up to Caesarea. And the Bible says that Philip began to preach. Many people say that Philip, they call Philip the evangelist. Philip the evangelist. So here's real quickly, number four, let's learn the components of witnessing. Letter A, an available witness. You know, in verse 27, it says, "He arose." The Lord said to him in verse 26, "Arise and go toward the south along the road." And in verse 27, it says, "And he arose and went." He was available. Folks, listen, we're never going to win anybody to Christ if we're not available to share our faith. We have to have a mindset, "Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I'm available. Lord, lead and guide me." One of the most important components in a witnessing situation is an available witness, and that was Philip. The Lord said, "Go to Gaza." He went. If the Lord says to you, "Go over here and share." Have you ever seen someone? There's been many times that the Lord has whispered in my ear. It's not talking audibly, but I'll see someone and the Lord will say, "Why don't you go give them a gospel tract?" And I try to leave. And I must admit that there have been times when I have not had an open ear like I should have. But most of the time, the Lord will not let me loose, and I have to go digging, find a gospel tract. If I don't have one in my track rack right here, my shirt pocket, if I don't have one right here, I've got to go dig in my glove compartment and come back, take the time, because the Lord whispered in my ear. That witness would not be done if we weren't available. And so the component of witnessing that is so crucial, you've got to have an available witness. Are we available to share Jesus with people? Philip was. Philip the evangelist. Letter B, a prepared prospect. Now this is so encouraging to me, because what is revealed in this passage is this, ladies and gentlemen: when you witness to someone, You've got to know that God has been preparing them for your witness. We think, oh, Lord, there's no way they're even open to this. There's no way they've even ever, it's ever crossed their mind. You know what? That's not true. The Holy Spirit has a way of preparing the people that we will witness to. Doesn't that encourage you? It encourages me to know that, hey, if the Lord prompts me to go share with someone, the Lord's been working on that person in some way. And I tell you, as I have led folks to the Lord through the years, many times I'll ask this question: have you been thinking about Jesus? If you ever have, when you have the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ, ask them, have you been thinking about the things of God? And I'm telling you, virtually every time they'll say to me, oh yes, my sister's been talking to me. I've got somebody in my family. I watch this program on TV. I mean, you get the funniest answers from people because God uses things to prepare the prospect. How did he do it here? He had this man who had come to Jerusalem to worship. We don't know. Maybe he was a hungry seeker wanting to know what life's all about, wanting to know who was the true God. And he was reading in Isaiah. God was preparing the heart of this man. That encourages me to know that if God leads me to witness, I'm not, there's no such thing as a cold turkey witness. Now, that's never come to me until right now. Y'all write that down. No, I'm kidding. But no, I've all my life, I've done a lot of what we call cold turkey witnessing. Down here at Weatherly, where is Suzanne Beard, I understand, lives in Weatherly, this neighborhood right over the interstate. Hey, I went down there and walked that neighborhood, went door to door in that neighborhood. Man, those people, they didn't know what they bargained for when they answered the door, when I knocked on the door. But I just, when we went to our new Sunday school times, I thought, I'm going to use this as an opportunity just to share with the community. We've got a new schedule. I was looking for any reason I could to try to introduce North Central to our community. So I went down there. Mr. Brandon went with me one time. And we had a good time. But we, you know, I knocked on doors. And a lot of times I had an opportunity to share Christ. But how encouraging. I thought I was doing cold turkey witnessing. I really believe that you can take from Scripture here that God prepares the prospect. And whoever God leads you, Malcolm, you're preaching in the jails. I guarantee you the Lord has been working on hearts there. You know it. You know it. Malcolm told me the other day about a man. He went up to him and said, look, my time's about up. I got to get out of here. And the jailer's there, you know, tinkling his keys like, man, you've been in here too long. I can imagine Malcolm keeps them long in there when he's got them in there. But he was saying, hey, it's about time. And Malcolm said, look, I don't have a lot of time. Do you know Jesus Christ? And he said, why would you not want to give your life to Jesus Christ? And the man said, I don't know a reason why I wouldn't. And Malcolm led him to Christ out loud in front of all these men in the cell. And others prayed. Well, see, that wasn't cold turkey. The Holy Spirit was moving on that heart. So you be encouraged as you witness. God Almighty is preparing the prospect. Okay, so we learned that. Letter C. This is so important. A focused message. Verses 30 through 35. He ran to him. He said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, unless I have someone interpret it for me or help me? He was in Isaiah 53, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. One of the reasons we're not seeing people saved is we're not preaching Jesus enough. People need Jesus. People need to know that Jesus died on the cross. I heard that Billy Graham in the early years was frustrated. He was not seeing as many saved. And he had some elderly ladies that prayed for him. And he was over in Europe and they got him aside and they said, Billy, now they could say that. I wouldn't say that. I'd say Dr. Graham. But anyway, they said, Billy, they said, you've got to preach on the cross. And isn't it interesting that on his 95th birthday, the name of the presentation that they gave that's been all over the TV and that we saw in our fellowships was called The Cross. Because Dr. Graham realized that the message needs to be focused on Jesus Christ and the cross. So you have a focused message. And then we see that in verses 30 and 35. And then letter D, the proper follow-up. In verses 36 through 39, what was that follow-up? It was began with baptism. And they went down the road and they came to some water. The eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" I think it's interesting that Philip didn't say, "Well, nothing." No, he said this, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We have to get our baptism on the right side of our commitment. We give our lives to Jesus Christ, that's when we're saved, we're born again, and then we are baptized. So many people have it reversed. They got baptized as a baby, and they think, "I've been baptized. I've gotten saved, but I've been baptized." Well, the order is, Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart," and he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So then he commanded the chariot to stand still, and then he baptized him. So there has to be proper follow-up. And folks, I know that all of follow-up is not just baptism. It's discipling. It's doing what the Great Commission says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." But this is a beginning picture of follow-up, baptism. So there you have it. And this was Philip the evangelist. So that bottom blank there on your green sheet, what would be the message? And this is what I believe his message would be if he could just say one thing, and it would be this: be available to boldly witness. Be available to boldly witness. I believe if Philip was right here right now, he would say, "Folks, let's leave this congregation tonight saying, 'Dear Jesus, I don't know who I'm going to see tomorrow, but I'm available to you.'" Amen. I've heard so many times the great preachers would use this phrase because often we think we don't have the ability. We think, well, I'm not trained enough. I know one thing, folks. Can I raise my hand and tell you this? I have no more excuses. I've been through every evangelism training course that you can imagine. I've been through lay witness training when I was a college student here, Campus Crusade for Christ. I've been out on UF witnessing with Fauzi Attila from Egypt. I've done that. I've been through EE at North Central. I've been through CWT at First Baptist. I've been through Faith at First Baptist. I've been through my own thing I wrote myself. I have no more excuses. You know what my problem is? Not my ability. It's my availability. And the preachers through the years have always said, God is not looking for your ability, but your availability. And I think if Philip was here, he'd say, be available to boldly witness. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.